Thank you, Dave. My name's Austin. I'm an addict. Thank you, guys, for putting this on. Zoom, though. If anyone's new, who's coming into these meetings and hearing what we're doing on Zoom, and you're inspired, and you like it, and you're like, wow, nice, I'm here and stuff, this isn't what we're like in physical meetings. I don't care. I'm grateful for Zoom, but it is not the same as what we get in our physical meetings. And that is that connection, that human connection that we get when we're there, that we see someone new come in. A man amazing. Just that understanding, the way we can go and talk to each other, the way that we can get an idea of where each other's come from. And our stories. Some meetings are electric because we're there and we found a way out of that, what was happening to us. We found a way out of that hopeless situation. Yeah, that's an amazing thing. Step 12, you know, we carried the message of recovery to others. We went and worked with others. We come in, you know, people who've talked tonight, they've gone through the 12-step program of Cocaine Anonymous. They're not using, they're free from addiction. And we get to the end and it talks about turning around and doing the same with others and why. Yeah. For me, because who else could do it? My second treatment center, because I tried one and failed. And the second one I went to, I got there and I knew these guys can't help me. They, you know, I can't work this out. I don't believe that anyone here in this treatment center is going to be able to tell me what's going on. I just didn't believe it. I hadn't heard anyone saying any of it. You know, it didn't make sense to me. I'm forever grateful for that treatment center. Without it, I'd be dead. They gave me a bed. They gave me a safe place to be. I was in. I was at a point where I was in so much pain because I'm sat there without any anesthetic, and I'm just like, I know to leave there, I'm doomed. So they were there, they opened that door, but I just knew that when it came to this addiction stuff, to make any sense out of it, helping me with it, I didn't believe that could happen. And it took, I was so lucky that there was a guy there who's a member of Cocaine Anonymous. I'd never heard of Cocaine Anonymous. I'd heard of the 12 steps. I'd been to some meetings. I still thought that, you know, at that time that there was something I could do about this, that you know, that I just had to find a way to do it. I was sat in the rooms, you know, connecting with people a bit. Either I wasn't ready, or, you know, it wasn't time, or I wasn't hearing what I got from this guy. And he sat with me and we identified. He told me his story. I shared some of mine. And the main thing I got from him at that time was a sense that someone understood what I'd been going through. And that was so key. That, you know, I've had so many people try to help me. Well-meaning, lovely people, kind-hearted. But they hadn't lived this stuff. And I knew that there was something not right about what I'd been going through. And here I met a guy who was able to give me some of that, which was crucial. You know, I don't know if I hadn't crossed paths with him, what may have happened, because I knew that I could do a detox. It wasn't the first time. I knew that I could do that and get through the rattle. Very likely I'm going to get through this rattle. Very likely I'm going to start putting things back together again. And then if it was anything like the previous times, I'm going to do it again. And when I say, what I mean by I'm going to do it again is I'm going to pick up that crack pipe. I'm going to go and get some heroin. I'm going to put it into my body. I'm going to set off the cycle. And I'm going to be back in that trap that no matter how hard I fight, I can't get out of. I mean, difficult thing, you know, I find about being a member of Cocaine Anonymous. It is meeting this condition, this illness, whatever it is. Because there's, you know, I was baffled. I meet guys who are baffled. People come into the meetings, they are baffled. They're confused. They don't know what's going on. There's so much pain and suffering as a result of this stuff. And it's on us to sit with it, to sit there, to be present with that. I don't find that easy. You know, what's the hardest step? Step 4, step 8, 9, go out and make amends for me. It's this one. It's step 12. It's been there. Being with people in it. Because here's the thing. In my step 12 experience, working with others, I've had way more failures than successes. That's the deal. One guy today, I'm still in touch with him. This is, you know, quite a while back. He's awesome. You know, we got involved. He came to me. He was on the Subutex script. He detoxed himself quick. He came to my place, still rattling, still on the tail end of it. We got our big books of Alcoholics Anonymous out that we use in CA, and we rattled through the steps as well. You know, we just went through them quickly. I think he was there 5 days, and he had his list of amends to go back home to where he lived in another town. And, you know, I remember him opening the door of the car and getting out, and he's just this look on his face and just like, what the fuck is going on now? What next? Because he's going back to a flat where, you know, only weeks before he'd been banging up smack. He was in it, that he'd attempted to get out so many times, and it just happened again. So he was in it. He became lit up. He was doing all these things. He was in the meeting. He was sponsoring others. He's, you know, part of Cocaine Anonymous. And then after about 4 years, he drifted off and he moved away and he ended up drinking. And here's the baffling thing with this guy. He's never picked up gear again. And he's, you know, his drinking's never completely got out of hand. And that's baffling. That's confusing. It's just like, what? He's not the real alcoholic, real addict. Just like, I listen to his fucking story. You know? What was going on with him and his using is what was going on with me and is what was in that big book. How it's worked out for him is different. Could he go again? Could he end up with another? I don't know. But the thing is, he's still in touch. And I mentioned today, you know, to him today that I was sharing tonight. And he was just like, he was like, I owe you. And for me, that was just so lovely to hear that, because it's real. He's up. He's up where he lives now, and he's got his little business, and he's doing his thing. And it was cool. It's just cool. And that's part of, you know, what we get here. But yeah, the things I've seen that have just confused the shit out of me with this. I know one guy who is a trier. You know, he knows more ways to do inventory than I've got a clue about. Can dig in around, learn all about himself. Pray. God, help me. Amends, toe curling amends. Once I'd be like, shit, I don't know if I want to go and do that. Carrying on with inventory. Carrying on with prayer. Carrying on with meditation. Twice a day, 20 minutes. Trying, following this stuff, and still the relapse happens. And we can dig in that. What was it he wasn't doing, and what was he doing that he shouldn't have been doing? Blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, I'm just sat back going, this just, wow, got to be with this. To me, that's Cocaine Anonymous. To me, that's seeing this stuff. You know, I didn't have an answer. And that was hard. That was hard. But what I could do was continue to be there, connecting, being present with this. So that's just another experience, learning from it. What, you know, a good friend worked with for years, going through a difficult time, different stuff going on. And after a long period of sobriety, the insanity that we talk about of picking up again, it happens. It's like, fucking hell, okay, let's look at that. And people are, you know, saying, you know, pointing out stuff. And it's like, hang on, I know for a fact that shit was going on for quite some time and the relapses weren't happening. That's what confuses me. It's just like, if we're going to peg this on something that a person was doing or not doing, it's like, well, why didn't they go earlier? I don't know. Baffling, confusing stuff that, you know, we're involved with. A friend, 3.5 years, lit up, absolutely, you know, my name's blah, 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 I'm recovered, out there doing the deal, goes. Another 3 years, goes again. And I'm still working with him and I'm trying to find out what is it, what is it, what is it? And these are the experiences in this stuff that have taught me that, you know, looking at that, because I was still trying to find the reason that it was happening to them and apply some strategy for them to get over it. How fucking humbling. Looking at that. There are plenty of stories like that. You know, friends who doing this stuff, getting periods of sobriety, but still in the relapse cycle for years, and it's painful. And all I can do is keep a door open and waiting. You know, why am I talking about this? To me, the importance of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and what we do, that identification that we can give of each other. So, like I said, that guy who I trusted. And then I began to learn more about alcoholism. It's the name, one of the chapters in the book for a reason. And in that, and what I continue to see in there is that what they're describing that's wrong with me and others I've talked to, and just my, you know, just my own experience, my understanding, is that the heart of it is that I pick up again. If I didn't smoke crack, I might have a bit of a shit time if I'm an off-key human being. Lots of people are like that. But the most devastating thing that can happen to me is to go and pick up a crack pipe. That's dangerous. So why would I do that again? And what more about alcoholism, chapter 3 in the big book, just keeps describing is this condition that is senseless, does not make sense. And that helps me. That helps me when I'm working with guys and they've gone again or something, you know, and it's just like, here's what we're in, you know. Page 23 on the book. I love what it says there. It's the guy, yeah, who, if you ask him where he started on that last bender, the chances are I will offer you any one of 100 alibis. Here are my excuses. I've got them lined up. This is why I did it. Alibis. Calls them alibis. Sometimes these excuses, now they're excuses, have a certain plausibility. So, yeah, I get it. You know, this happened. She left you. You lost your job. Had some big, you know, blow up over something. Yeah, it looks plausible. Because it looks like that's a good enough reason. That's a good enough, that creates the desire for me to want to use. What I learned from this book is that it ain't about desire. It's not about why I want to use. It's about why I can't stop myself from doing it. Two different things. Sometimes these excuses have certain plausibility, but none of them really make sense in the light of the havoc an alcoholic's drink about creates. Right there. Doesn't make sense. when I consider what happens when I pick up that crack pipe, no matter what my alibi or excuses, it don't make sense. And how that helps me is in working with others, it's like, that's the same going on for them. Don't make sense. It's fucking hard for me not to try and make sense of someone's using. Because if I can do that and I was doing it with my own, then I've got some power. They sound like the philosophy of the man who, having a headache, beats himself on the head with a hammer so that he can't feel the ache. I mean, that does not make any sense whatsoever. That's what you've got to. You know, I'm using because I can't cope, because I'm restless, or discontented, that I feel upset, that you know, it's just painful. I know what, I'll smoke some crack. What, did that ever make it better? Not in my experience, it gets fucking worse. Don't make sense, that's what they're pointing out. You know, I didn't know that and I struggled, because what I would do is each time in my periods of sobriety, the big book talks about, you know, when the relapse has stopped, when I've broken free from the using, that every time that happened, that I would try something. I would try and do something to make sure that it wouldn't happen again. I would go back to work. I would go to treatment. I would move town. I would go and stay with my parents. I would go and stay with some friends. I would try these different things just to get back on my feet. And then at times, doing all this with no thought of using, not feeling a desire to do it, not thinking, oh, my, you know, I'm getting back on my feet, not thinking my life's shit and I can't cope and I feel terrible, it would still happen again. And I'd be like, what's going on? And when I came in and I read the big book and I started to see what it's saying there, that was the first time. It was just like, oh, wow, there it is. These guys are talking about what happens to me. It's hard. You know, the bottom of page 23, there's the obsession that somehow, someday, they will beat the game. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to beat the game. I was trying to find a way that I could stay sober on my own resources and my own power. But they often suspect they're down for the count. How true this is, few realize. In a vague way, their families and friends sense that these drinkers are abnormal, but everybody hopefully awaits the day when the sufferer will rouse himself from his lethargy and assert his power of will. Yeah, that's what it must be. It must be something wrong with my willpower. It wasn't. Yeah, there was something wrong with it. It didn't fucking work. The tragic truth is that if the man be a real alcoholic, the happy day may not arrive. That's what we sit with. We all know people who've gone off, done it, they haven't made it. To be with that. You know, on the flip side of that, what confuses the shit out of me is in Cocaine Anonymous, it's just like, get a sponsor, work the program, go through the steps, you know, do your step four, step five, do a prayer, make amends, do carry on doing inventory, meditate, pray, meditate, work with others. You know, this is the program of action outline in that book. It's the one that I took, and it appears to have worked for me and a lot of others I know. I see a lot of people get many years of recovery and they don't have fucking any of that. You know, they're not a real alcoholic. Again, I've heard their stories. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't add up. I don't get it. So that's what it's, I have to try and not make it about that, you know, just to be present with this stuff. You know, they're working with other stuff. There's a line in the book about nothing so much ensures immunity as intensive work with others or something like that. And it's just like, cool. Sounds like a great instruction. This is what I have to do. I think that, you know, it's an observation that people do that, that quite a high number of those people do stay clean and sober, which is really cool. I do this. To me, it's a wonderful gift, something that by going through the program, being a member of Cocaine Anonymous, that a gift was given to me, that I get to do this. I love this part of my life. I love being able to get that connection with the new guy. I don't know why. I think, you know, it's just who I am. Something changed. This is part of who I am now. the insistence that other people should do it, I'm not there anymore. It's not it. What I'll do is I'll go through this, and if they want to do that, I can show them how. If they want to take the same opportunity that I was given, I will. I'm in that. But if I meet a guy who gets so far and they sort their shit out and sort their life out, and they are, you know, they want to go off and be with their family and be in their work or whatever it is and do something else. Awesome, absolutely awesome, and. You know, I'm not going to sit there and go, ooh, ooh, they'll be back. I really hope not. And I've seen plenty of times when they haven't. Again, baffling, confusing, do not understand it. I'm just delighted if they do. And that I may have been part of that. What a cool thing. That's the gift to me in this. Yeah, I think it's an offer. When I do go through the work with people, you know, what I do, it's been talked about tonight, is there's so many cool things here. And my approach is that, you know, because it talks about the principles, practice these principles in all our affairs. And that's what we get into. Because once the using's done, nothing to look at there. Nothing I can do about it. The program's not about stopping me from using. It's got everything to do with living. There's nothing I can do about the using anyway. Then I might as well get on with this while it's there. Why have this opportunity and clear out some stuff and see what happens there. And, you know... Using was a devastating thing. I don't think it was normal in any way whatsoever. That I don't know how it was for you. For me, it was fucking dark. Well, when I was nailed to the floor by crack and heroin, I couldn't move. My life's just going nowhere. And it's getting worse and worse and worse through that. To the point, you know, where I'm offering up silent prayers at night that it's okay if I don't wake up, you know. So I don't think that's a good place at all. And then I managed to get free of that and I come into this and what's on offer within the big book. I don't think it's light stuff. You know, the line, one I love around step three is about quit playing God. I think that's a great pointer towards the principles we practice in all of our affairs, because it's a case of, you know, in playing God, what I'm trying to do is manage the rest of the world to suit me. So that all pulls off, that I'm happy, hopefully you're happy too. And I think that this is the way that it's going to work. And invariably, you know, as the book talks about, it's been my own personal experience that when I do that, other people see what I'm up to and they're like, nope. And they retaliate. Everyone else wants to do the same. And what this helps me to do in seeing that is to step back a little bit from it. And that's what I've learned through going through the inventory, is finding out where I'm still doing this. Where am I still playing God? To dig that stuff out. And that's, you know, I think that's what the big book's given me. That's what I'm doing once we're past the relapse and we're out of that, is working with a guy and going through that stuff. And hopefully something can go on there too with them. For a lot of years, chasing down, for me personally, doing different types of inventory, listening to people, you know, reel it up, really happy, joyous and free, talking about how they do their inventory. And I'm just sitting there thinking, what the fuck? That's not happening to me. Do I misunderstand how we do inventory around here? Turned out, no. No, it's pretty clear. It's in there. Just took some time. Took some time for it to get clearer for me. For things to shift in my life. Reading over good, you know, books, different spiritual practices, some me mentioned here tonight, but just finding out a bit about that, going into it. And again, people like, you know, the whole thing is about that they're describing these wonderful lives and they're full of success and they've got this confidence and all that. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong, man? What's going on here? I mean, not like I'm in bits in a basket case or whatever, but it's just like what they're describing is not what I've got going on. And over time, seeing it ain't that. It may be for them, but it ain't for me. And that's what I've really got, is this, we're going through this and learning more and more and more about these principles and all my affairs and the step 11 stuff. Has led me to a place where there's just more openness about who I am. And that's okay. You know, that's a pretty fucking cool gift to get put, you know, pointed in that direction. The best thing I think we got going on here is the connection with each other, that we're just here. You know, a friend described it recently, that what they do, you know, they don't know if the person's going to relapse. They don't know that if we go through these steps, whether it's going to sink in, that this is going to be the time. So what we do is we turn up, we open the big book, we get in it, we build a relationship. We're there without judgment, without expectation. Something very human goes on. That's what I needed. I needed understanding. And we get to share our own experiences and learn from theirs and just be together in this fellowship. But still, I don't think this is CA. I don't. It's not CA for me. Real CA is in our physical meetings, being there with each other. I'm grateful for this, but that's what I want to get back to. I'll leave it there. Thank you, guys.